I think that I've given you enough data for the moment. What do you think about that? You have enough to think about?
Yep.
Oh, do you need more?
Yes.
That's very funny. Everybody's a glutton for punishment. Well, I'm not going to give you any more. Right this minute, I'm just going to take a little bit of a break from all of that data and ask you if you have any comments or questions at this point.
I have a question.
Okay.
This is Gina.
Uh-huh.
Demonstration of a reading where you would actually have to may use this stuff.
Oh, that's very funny. What would happen, for example?
Like a one-card reading.
Right, okay. Well, let's say, for example, that you came to me and said, I'm tired of my job. And I was thinking about maybe going off to California or something. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe go to Europe. I'm really not sure exactly, but should I do it? I mean, I've been working at this job for like 14 years. I've only got 6 years to go till my pension kicks in. And, yeah, but I don't know, is it worth it to stay? I mean, should I stay or should I, you know, just put up with it? Or should I cut bait now and just go and do something fun? And it's a big decision. For anybody who's in that situation, it's really a major decision. So let's say that you did a one-card reading and you picked the Fool. Now, sometimes people would interpret that to say, don't be foolish. But the actual meaning of the card is to scintillate, to sparkle, to be brand new and completely fresh and to jump off that cliff with both feet. So in answer to her question, you know, should I stay or should I go? Mm-hmm. Should I take everything that I've invested so far and throw it away, or should I just stick it out, you know, so that I can get the benefits of a good pension at the end? And the Fool came up. The answer would be to scintillate and sparkle and be fresh and new and start all over again, but really throw yourself out there.
See, I would interpret it that way.
I know you wouldn't. How would you interpret it? What would you say the Fool meant in that case?
That you're starting fresh and that going and doing whatever without holding back would be the thing to do.
Well, that's exactly what I said.
We're in total agreement.
Say
whichever you chose anyway, you would find that it would be refreshing and new to you.
Absolutely. That's exactly the meaning, and that's exactly what I meant by what I said. So apparently I didn't make myself clear. That's very funny.
On the other hand, if justice came up, and then you look at the esoteric function of justice, it's work.
That's right, and it's the stable intelligence.
Right, so that would tell you better stay where you are. You know, don't quit your day job kind of thing.
Right, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Okay, isn't that an interesting, that's a very good point, Ruth Ann. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a perfect opposite. Absolutely.
Right, working with the functions is an amazing thing.
Oh my goodness, so is seeing that helps me click now.
Good.
Okay, I get it now.
Excellent.
Okay.
I get what we're doing now.
Okay, so you see, little bit by little bit, the stuff kind of shows itself up, and experience will give you ways to work with this stuff once you've got it in your head.
Yeah, I just learned a new thing. I know I'm taking up a little time here, but I was going through making the list because it's useful even when you are familiar with these things to go over it, because it takes a while to incorporate all of it. And one of the things that, let's see, we mentioned was the probationary intelligence, right, for Samic, for temperance.
Temperance, right.
And so I was thinking, well, you know, if somebody actually came and asked a question about a friend and they wanted to know if they were up for probation, you know, they are, and you get
good
temperance.
Absolutely.
That's one of those real secrets, and like, how'd you get that? And you can say, well, probationary intelligence, looks like they're gonna do that. Or renovating your house with the devil.
Absolutely.
You know?
Renovating is actually, you know what's really funny? The devil is actually...
I get that a lot. Let me ask this. Yeah. I get that a lot, the devil card, a lot in relationship reading.
You know, when it comes, what the devil does is the devil changes the appearance of things. The devil puts a fresh coat of paint on something. Without really changing it, it makes it look different. It gives it a sense of being new and fresh without actually changing a thing. And so in the case of a relationship, you know, issue, it may be that a new person isn't really new. It's just the same old person and with a new face. It's the same old relationship. It's the same old thing, the same old thing that you've been doing all this time you're going to do again.
Absolutely. Yeah. I understand, because it's always, how, you know, is this person that's in my life, is this the one?
Absolutely.
Well, looking at the function of the devil, of laughter, it's very important for that relationship to keep a sense of humor.
Okay.
I mean, it's important for every relationship to keep a sense of humor,
yeah.
But especially when the devil comes up. That's the way out of the difficulties.
And Bruce Ann, and when we actually have a double function?
Well, that's double function, sometimes you can work with reversals on that.
Then the double function works very well with reversals. I'll give you an example. With the tower and the tower reversed, now, when the tower is upright, remember that the double function, it has the order of indignation and grace.
Right.
And in the case of indignation, when the tower is straight up, it's in the mode of indignation. It is angry and scared and nasty and uncomfortable and unpleasant, and everything hurts. But when you turn the tower upside down, and those figures that are falling then seem to be floating, the figure is in a state of grace. Nothing will happen to you. Even in the toughest times, you'll come through it without a scratch.
I like this very much.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. That's what I wanted you to see. And this is only the scratching of the surface. This is very simple stuff that we're talking about here, but it works really, really, really well. The case of, for example, the Empress, where we're talking about wisdom and folly. Should I do this or should I do that? You know, one of those questions of choice. When the Empress is straight up, the choice that you have in mind to make is a wise one. When the Empress is reversed, it's folly.
A choice.
Whatever the choice happens to be.
Right, well, should I do it or shouldn't I?
You do it with the Empress straight up, it's a wise choice. If you do it with the Empress down, it's folly.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good way of using them, and that uses the reversals extremely well.
Now, tell me something. When they put together the tarot, they put it together in conjunction with this Kabbalah Foundation?
Absolutely. They did indeed.
I gather, because it's so intelligently put.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It is done with the most scrupulous care. It's the most amazing jigsaw puzzle you'll probably ever see.
Very nice.
Good. I'm glad you like. Okay. Well, I think we actually have to move along a little bit now. I just wanted to give you a chance to get some of that off your chest, and we'll get a chance to talk some more, you know, and ask more questions and stuff later on. But right now, I want to mention to you that we've written about and we've talked about all three of these numbers, 4 and 10 and 22. That's what we've done. We've given you enough to look at and play with, so that if you try to absorb it all, it'll take you a while, and if you do, you'll have a tremendous amount of pleasure from it and a tremendous amount of value from it. But it's all very well and good to talk about something and write about it. The time has actually come now to see it, to actually see it. The final part of this course, the final lesson of the course, is to show you physically how Kabbalah becomes tarot and how tarot is Kabbalah through the number 78. Do all of you have your decks? You all got them handy?
Mm-hmm.
Good, because the deck itself is the number 78. So what I want you to do is I want you to shuffle your decks 3 times, neither more nor less. Okay.
Somebody's flipping and...
Good, okay. I don't want you to do it too much now, just those 3. Okay. So now that everybody has done that, I just want you to be aware of something. What you've just done is to mix the orderly systems of creation that we've been talking about into the unruly randomness of ordinary life, what we face every minute of every day. That's what a shuffled tarot deck is. Are you aware of that? It's such a simple idea, but that's what it is. It's everyday life standing in front of you, sitting in your hand. And we're about to perform the magical act of unraveling this disorder into the serene beauty of its elements all over again, so we can actually see that beauty in a single glance. And we're going to do this in the magical field of the 4-foot by 2-foot empty space that you prepared earlier. Okay? So, if you're ready, this is what I want you to do, because we're going to have to arrange the deck. We're going to have to tear it down and put it back together again in a magical order. So the first thing I want you to do is to separate the deck into 3 smaller decks. I want you to make a deck of just the 16 court cards, and then I want you to separate out the 22 majors, and what will be left, of course, will be the numbered cards. So go ahead and do that now. As far as the order, there will be an order, but I'll tell you that after you've got all the parts separated out.
Okay.
Of course, while you're doing these various operations, if you were listening to this on tape, what you'd do is you'd put the tape on hold so that you know, you wouldn't miss any information while you were separating these cards out. Anyway, are you guys all finished separating the cards out into those three stacks?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the next thing you're going to do is work with the court cards. And the first thing I want you to do is to separate the court cards into their ranks. I want you to put the four queens together, the four kings together, etc., the four pages and the four knights. Make four separate stacks. Okay, if I understand correctly now, everybody has finished separating the court cards out into their ranks. When you've done this, I want you to put the Queen of Pentacles face up on the table in front of you. Now, on top of the Queen of Pentacles, I want you to put the Queen of Swords, and then Cups, and then Wands. So the Queen of Wands is on top of the stack. Done?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody not? Okay. Now, on top of the Queen of Wands, I want you to put the King of Pentacles. And then I want you to put all the other kings in the same suit order as the queens, one on top of the other. The King of Swords on top of King of Pentacles, and then the King of Cups, and then the King of Wands. And we're going to do that same thing with the pages, and then with the knights. So when you're done, you'll have an ordered stack of court cards with the Queen of Pentacles on the bottom, and the Knight of Wands on top. Go ahead and do that. Let me know when you're done.
So the queen goes on the bottom, then the king, then
the kings, then the pages, then the knights.
Then the knights.
And the court in a suit order that I gave you before.
Right.
So, how is everybody doing with that?
Done.
Everybody done?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I want you to put the world face up on top of the Knight of Wands. Okay, so the world is now face up on top of the Knight of Wands. Then on top of the world, I want you to put judgment. Right? And then on top of judgment, I want you to put the sun. So as you can see, we're doing a descending order from the world downwards through the numbers.
Oh, I'm sorry. After the world, which one was it?
Judgment.
You go into
okay.
Order.
And then after judgment, the sun. So it goes, you know, 21, 20, 19, 18, etc. So go back. So you're going to continue through the major arcana, putting one on top of the other in descending order. So that when you're done, the fool will be face up on the stack in front of you. So now, everybody now has the fool on top of their deck, right?
That's right.
Okay, so now we're going to do the last part with the numbers. What you're going to do now is on top of the fool, you're going to put all the tens in the suit order that we did the court cards. Pentacles first, then cups, then swords, and on top of it all, wands. So put all the tens in order on top of the fool. And when you're done with that, you know what to do next. You're going to put the nines on top of the tens. Then you're going to put the eights on the nines and the sevens on the eights, etc., until you're all done with the deck and you finish off with the aces. When you're completed, the ace of wands should be face up on the completed deck. So go ahead and do that. So I gather we're slowly but surely coming to the end. Okay, so now everybody has that completed deck with the Ace of Wands on top, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Good. Excellent. I want you to be aware that the numbers are the Sephirot, the trumps are the letters, and what the court cards are the worlds, but you don't know what I mean by that yet. But when you put the numbers down, you're putting the Sephirot down. And when you put the Sephirot down, the way we just did it, you're putting them in the order in which they appear in the universe. The first world to be created was wands, the world of fire, and the second world to be created was cups, and the third world to be created was swords, the world of air, and the fourth world, the world of pentacles and earth. So what you've done is to arrange the numbers, especially in the order of the four worlds and how they came into existence. And what you're holding in your hand now, this completed deck, is the complete picture of the universe according to Kabbalah. There is not one card too few, not one card too many. exactly the number of cards that you will need in order to describe the entire system that we've been talking about tonight and over the last few weeks. And it's all in this amazingly economical little package of a deck of cards sitting in front of you. So now what we're going to do is we're going to lay this deck out. We're going to make it into a spread, a huge, magnificent mandala of a spread in which the Tree of Life will emerge from nothing. This empty space that you have in front of you, this 4-foot by 2-foot empty space, is kind of a symbol of Ein Sof. Imagine that this empty space went on forever, that there was no clutter around you, that this 4-foot space was just simply a little smidgen of a huge empty universe. And into this universe, we are now going to plant the seeds of creation. And I'm going to tell you how to do it. So the first thing I want you to do is I want you to take the aces and put them at the top of that space in the position of Keter, in the position of the crown. You can use the Tree of Life diagram if you need to. Hopefully by this time you won't need to, but if you do need to, you can use the Tree of Life diagram in order to lay the cards out in their proper positions. So put the aces in the position of number one, the crown. Put the twos where the twos go, in Chochmah, in wisdom. Put the threes where the threes go, in understanding. Give yourself enough space so that you can put a card between any two cards. Leave at least 6 inches of empty space between any two groups of cards. So there should be 6 inches of space between the aces and the twos and between the aces and the threes, and there should be a good deal more than that between the twos and the threes. Now you created a triangle. You created a supernal triad. The aces, the twos, and the threes. When you look at these numbers from now on, when you pick a two of something, or an ace of something, or a three of something, realize that you're picking a card from the supernal triad, the spiritual template from which the entire universe is made. Okay, now you're going to put the four in the place of the fours in Chesed, in mercy. Put the fives where the fives belong in Gevura, and severity. Put the sixes in Tiferet, in beauty. Put the sevens in Netzach, in victory. Put the eights in Hod, which is splendor. Put the nines in Yesod, which is foundation. And the tens in Malkuth, which is sovereignty. Remember to leave at least 6 inches of space between the closest cards. And where the tree's proportions make it appropriate, make more space between the others. What you have created now in front of you is Taro is the Tree of Life. This is the shape of the Tree of Life. This is the shape of the numbers. It is from these positions that the numbers in Taro draw their meanings. This is the numerology of Taro.
This is very cool.
Yes, it is. It's extremely cool. And if you really understood it, your top of your head would blow off. But
well,
cool is good.
That.
No, we wouldn't want that, of course, only symbolically. But it's interesting that in the world of Kabbalah, one of the problems with Kabbalah is that when you really understand what you're studying, the top of your head tends to blow off. But anyway, now the Tree of Life comes out of nothing, comes out of the Ein Sof. And remember we said that the empty table space was the symbol for the Ein Sof, nothing at all before the beginning. The Tree of Life now suddenly appears as a deck of tarot cards strung like pearls in the middle of nowhere. The thing I wanted you to be aware of was that the numbers all should show their wands characteristics on top. You are now looking at the world of wands, the world of elemental fire. It's the very first world that emerges out of Ein Sof.
Okay.
Do you guys remember the principle of emergence and return? The idea that at the beginning of things, when the world is first created, it is literally emerging. It is coming up out of nothing. It is literally creation from nothing. This is the world of emergence. And we haven't yet finished emerging. We've only begun to emerge. And of course, we haven't even mentioned the court cards yet. We haven't done anything with the majors yet. So what we're going to do now is we're going to place the letters of the alphabet, the trumps, of the tarot on the tree. So what I want you to do is I want you to take the Fool, which is the next card that should be on top of the stack, and place it in path number 11 between the aces and the twos. Now take the Magician and place it between the one and the three, the aces and the threes. That's the path of the Magician, path number 12. Take the Priestess and place it between the aces and the sixes, right in the middle. That's the path of the Priestess. Now take the Empress and place the Empress between the twos and the threes. And you'll see that the Magician and the Fool and the Empress make the Supernal Triad. Now take the Emperor and place it diagonally between the twos and the sixes. Take the Hierophant and place it between the twos and the fours. Take the Lovers and place it diagonally between the threes and the sixes. Take the Chariot and place it between the threes and the fives. Take Strength and place it horizontally between the fours and the fives. Now take the Hermit and place it diagonally between the fours and the sixes. Put the Wheel vertically between the fours and the sevens. Put Justice diagonally between the fives and the sixes. Put the Hangman vertically between the fives and the eights. And now comes Death between sixes and sevens. Temperance goes between six and nine. The Devil goes between six and eight. Place the Tower horizontally across Temperance between seven and eight. They make a cross. Place the Star between seven and nine. Place the Sun between eight and nine. Place the Moon between seven and ten. Place Judgment between eight and ten. And finally, place the World between nine and ten. And there you have the tree with all of its numbers and all of its paths. A spectacular, magnificent, and beautiful mandala. But even so, the world isn't finished yet, because it needs the seal of the court to be complete. And I'll tell you what I mean now. What I want you to do is I want you to take the knights, just the knights, and I want you to place them horizontally across the twos in wisdom, so that the Knight of Wands is face up on top. The world of fire emerges from and is embodied in the Knight of Wands. If you want to know what the court cards are about, listen to this carefully. The world of fire, the whole world of all those wands numbers, emerges from, remember we talked about emergence, literally comes from, comes up out of the Knight of Wands, and is embodied in the Knight of Wands. The Knight of Wands is the actual living flesh of the whole world of fire. And the world of fire is established in the suit of wands. The Knight of Wands, all by himself, is the seal of fire in the world of fire, on the journey of emergence. As the world comes into being, this is true. But the 22 paths are just the 22 paths, and they never change. Now, remove the knights from the tree and set them aside. And I want you to take the Ace of Wands and put it at the bottom of the aces. And I want you to put the aces back in position on the tree with the Ace of Cups on top now. And I want you to do the same thing for all 10 numbers, but don't touch the majors. And just let me know when you're done with that. Okay, so you're all done with that. Is anybody not? Okay, we're done. Now this is the elemental world of water. Take a look at it and see, even though the numbers are the same, how very different the world looks now from the way it did when wands were on top. What I want you to do now is I want you to take the pages. Pick the pages up, put the page of wands on the bottom of the pages, and put the pages horizontally across the threes. So the page of cups is now face up on top. This is the world of elemental water, as it emerges from Ein Sof. It emerges through and it's embodied in the page of cups, and the world of water is established in the suit of cups. The page of cups is the seal of water in the world of water on its journey of emergence. But the paths are the paths and they never change. Now, remove the pages and set them aside. Take the Ace of Cups and put it at the bottom of the aces. Put the aces back in position on the tree, and now the Ace of Swords will be on top. And do the same thing with all 10 numbers, but don't touch the majors. How's everybody doing?
Done.
Done, good. Okay. So now, take the pages off the tree and set them aside. Don't lose any of this stuff. Keep them in order, but just put them aside. So all the swords are on top now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I want you to take the King of Wands, and so put the King of Wands at the bottom, and then put the King of Cups below that. Now the King of Swords should be on top, and I want you to put the Kings horizontally across the sixes in Tiferet, with the King of Swords on top. This is the world of elemental air as it emerges from Ein Sof. Just take a moment to see and feel how different this world is in its details from the worlds that came before it. The structure is the same, but the world is so different. The world of air emerges through and is embodied in the King of Swords. The King of Swords is the pure sword, and this world is established in the suit of swords. The King of Swords is the seal of air in the world of air on its journey of emergence. But the paths are the paths and they never change. Remove the kings and set them aside. Take the Ace of Swords, put it on the bottom of the aces, and put the aces back in position on the tree with the Ace of Pentacles on top. And of course, do the same with the other numbers. But don't touch the majors. How are you doing with that?
Done.
Done? Anybody not done? Okay. So now I want you to take the Queen of Pentacles. Put the Queen of Pentacles on top of the Queens. And put the Queens horizontally across the Tens in Malkuth. This is the world of elemental earth as it emerges from Ein Sof, from out of nowhere. It emerges from and is embodied in the Queen of Pentacles, and it is established in the suit of pentacles, and the Queen of Pentacles is the seal of earth in the world of earth on the journey of emergence. The Queen of Pentacles is earth of earth on the journey of emergence. This is where we part company from many, many traditions, because the idea of emergence and return is one that is not known very far and wide. It's very little understood. It's about as esoteric as you can get. Usually, the court cards are placed in position in such a way that they remain there. The Knight of Wands is always in wisdom. Sometimes they put the King of Wands in wisdom. There are other attributions as well. We are going to have a double attribution system, one based on the idea of emergence. As the world is born, the court cards become the worlds. They literally embody the worlds. They are the picture, the image, the form, the human form of the whole world. As the world reaches its conclusion and is completely created and becomes completely visible, at that moment, the worlds awake. And as soon as they begin to awake from the dream of being independently existent, by the time all of this has happened, all the worlds think that they exist by themselves. They no longer remember where they came from. When the world has been completely engrossed in sleep, has become completely created, the elemental world of Earth wakes up. And at that point, we begin the journey of return, the return to the origins and spirit. So what I want you to do now is I want you to remove the queens from the tree and set them aside. and I want you to place the Page of Pentacles on top of the pages. And place the pages horizontally across the tens in Malkuth where the queens were a moment ago. Now, nothing has changed, but everything has changed. The elemental world of Earth has awakened now, and it's invoked the energy of the beginning of a new journey as it dissolves and returns through the Page of Pentacles. The Page of Pentacles is the seal of Earth in the world of Earth as it begins the journey of return.